I'd like to ask you something. Have you ever heard these questions? If God is so just, why does he allow evil to do so much damage in the world? Let me repeat that. If God is so just, why does he allow evil to do so much damage in the world? Why does he allow so much suffering, even among those who believe in him? I read some stats this week about Christians and the suffering that they are facing in the world even today. One study said, indeed, more than 75% of the world's population live in areas with severe religious restrictions. And 215 million believers suffer from high, very high, or extreme persecution. In the 50 countries where it is the most difficult to be a Christian, according to Open Doors USA and Pew Research Center, Fox News posted this: Christians continue to be the most persecuted group across the globe, according to a study. The report from Italian-based Center for Studies on New Religions determined that 90,000 Christians were killed for their beliefs worldwide in 2016. And nearly a third were at the hands of Islamic extremists like ISIS. Others were killed by state and non-state persecution, including in places like North Korea. So there is a lot of suffering going on from even those who believe in Jesus. More personally, you may ask, why is God allowing me to suffer? Or why is my friend or loved one who is such a good person suffering? We know suffering comes as a result of evil and sin in the world. But why do people who follow the Lord suffer greatly? Well, I believe this passage before us in Hebrews 11 gives us some insight into these valid questions. The group that Hebrews was written to was experiencing suffering and persecution to the point that some were obviously contemplating renouncing their faith in Christ. With this in mind, the writer illustrates how believers in the past endured suffering and how God used the testimony of their faith in the orchestration of his promise plan for the world. God wants you to understand that he is using the existence of evil and suffering to implement his promised plan of salvation for mankind. We see this illustrated for us in this passage as the writer describes some of the results of the faith of other believers throughout history. So let's take a look at this passage and see how God uses the testimony of our faith in a world cursed by sin and evil. Let's look at verse 32. Verse 32 says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. I want us to understand that God uses the testimony of our faith through deliverance from evil. God uses the testimony of our faith through deliverance of evil. Here the writer starts to sum up the effects the faith of others has had on the world. He briefly mentions the names of some saints in the past and then proceeds to show how God used these and others to orchestrate his promised plan of salvation. The first group discussed here were delivered from evil and experienced some wonderful victories in their life. So the first group we see here, God delivered them from evil and they experienced some really great victories in their lives. Some awesome experiences that God used in a great and mighty way. But I want us to see God's purpose in these victories as we go through the list to see and understand why we come up against evil in our lives. You see, God has a purpose for us going up against evil, for us overcoming evil, and I want us to see that. Notice it says in verse 33, through faith they subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness. So God used the testimony of their faith by delivering them from evil so they could be a positive influence on the world. God used their victory over evil so they could be a positive influence on the world. As King David had continued victories over evil kingdoms, we are told he administered judgment and justice to all his people. We see that in 2 Samuel 8:15. It says, David reigned over all Israel, and David administered judgment and justice to all his people. And if we read the context, we see this is in the midst of some great victories that he had had over many of the enemies of God. And so David was able to be a positive influence on his culture because God had given him victory over evil. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be a positive influence in our culture as he gives us victories over the forces of evil. Jesus expressed this concept when he talked about us being salt and light in the world. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 5. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You see, this is the concept taught by Jesus himself, where he says, look, I want you to be a positive influence, salt and light in the world that you live in. And I'm going to give you victories in the face of evil so that you can be that salt and light. I'm going to let your light shine. It's not going to be hidden under a basket. It's going to be out there for all the world to see. And so this is one of God's purposes in allowing us to be victorious over evil, victorious in the face of evil. It is so that when we display our faith in Jesus Christ to the world, we become a positive influence in our society. And it brings glory to God. So one of the reasons God uses the testimony of our faith is so we can have a positive influence on the world by overcoming evil. Now another reason God uses the testimony of our faith by overcoming evil is to show his mighty power to the world. It's to show how powerful he is. Notice after the phrase worked righteousness, It says that they obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the army of the aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again. These phrases all describe mighty displays of God's power in the lives of those who trusted in his promised plan. That's what we see here. We see men like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego who, in the face of lions and fire, said, I'm going to trust in God and his plan. And I'm going to obey God. And God delivered them in a mighty, powerful way. He stopped the mouths of lions. He quenched the fire so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not burned or harmed. God was able to use their faith in him to show his mighty power to the world. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to give us victory over evil to show that he is a mighty God and that he is powerful and that he can be trusted. They experienced deliverance from the effects of evil so God could show his mighty power to the world. Jesus also taught this concept when he healed a man blind from birth. Let's read that passage in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. It says, Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now I want us to understand what's being done here. Here we see a man who was not being punished by God for his sins, but was still suffering from the effects of evil in the world. This is someone we would say, hey, his parents are good people. He's a good person, but he's suffering. Why is this, God? Is it because of their sin? Why is it, God? And Jesus says, no, it's not because they're being punished for their sin. It's not that at all. And in a way, he confirms these people are pretty good people. But he does give us the reason why. He says, so that the works of God might be revealed. So that God can show his mighty power. And right after this, Jesus heals the man in a way that brings glory to God and shows others that he is the Messiah, that God has a plan for this world and God has a plan for our lives. That is why we suffer and get victory over evil. Because God wants to show that he is a mighty and powerful God. Why was this man suffering and why was Jesus about to deliver him from the effects of evil? Because God wanted to reveal his power. You see, God uses the testimony of our faith to deliver us from evil so he can show the world his mighty power. When God delivers us from the forces of evil, let's remember it is so we can have a positive impact on the culture and on our society. And so God can reveal his mighty power to the world. Let's trust the Lord when we face evil and suffering because of these reasons. Let's remember these things when we face suffering and evil. Secondly, I want us to understand that God uses the testimony of our faith through suffering from evil. Look at verse 35 in the second half of verse 35 of chapter 11. It says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. So God uses the testimony of our faith through suffering from evil. Now, the writer now shifts to another group of believers. Up till now, he has been talking about those who were delivered from evil for God's purposes. Now he talks about those who God allowed to experience suffering from evil their entire lives, but also for God's purposes. Notice the word others here. The Greek word allos indicates others of the same quality and kind. Now this is important. This group was just as dedicated and faithful to God as the first group, yet they never experienced deliverance or victory over the forces of evil until their death, many times a horrible death. So, from an earthly perspective, these people never experienced, quote, success or prosperity. They never experienced that. To those who preach a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, this passage is a vehement chastisement. We see here that faith in God does not mean that one will receive health, wealth, and prosperity. On the contrary, it may mean a life of poverty, affliction, and torment. That's what we see here. These people had great faith, but that was their lot in life. Notice the writer points out that the world was not worthy of those wonderful people of God. These were wonderful people that the world was not worthy of, yet they suffered their entire lives. They were afflicted. They were poverty-stricken their entire lives. Do you ever think, God, when am I going to get out of the hole? When am I going to get out of the hole, God? When am I going to be able to experience some victory over this certain thing in my life? It may not happen until you die. I know you just love that encouraging word from me. But it should be encouraging. I'll tell you why. Because God is going to use your poverty, your affliction, your torment for His purposes. That's why it's in here. That's why these events and what these folks went through is listed in His Word. Because He has a purpose for it. He has a purpose for your suffering. He has a purpose for your sorrow. He has a purpose for your affliction, for your torment, for your persecution. He has a purpose. What you are going through is not in vain. And that's what we need to remember. When we're down, when we're discouraged, when we're overwhelmed by what we are facing, remember God has a purpose for your pain. He has a purpose for your sorrow. It is not in vain, and it does not go unnoticed. Every tear that these wonderful people of God shed because of their suffering was counted by God. And He knows exactly what they went through. And they have a crown of life waiting for them because they endured until the end. And that is why this passage is written to us. So that we might endure until the end. That we might continue to trust in God and His promised plan for our lives, even though we suffer, even though there is no relief from our suffering. This is what we see. We see here that faith in God does not mean that one will receive health, wealth, and prosperity, but on the contrary, it may mean a life of poverty, affliction, and torment. Now, I want us to also understand, just like God had a purpose for delivering some from evil, so God has a purpose for allowing others to suffer from evil until their death. This purpose is found at the end of verse 35. Look at verse 35. It says that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, what does that mean? This is a better resurrection than the one they would have experienced if they had been raised from the dead back to this world as it is now. You see, some in the previous verses were raised from the dead. But when they came back, they were in this sinful world. And they had to face agony again. And they had to face death again. But those who died and suffered until death, they did it for a better resurrection. One that is coming someday in the future. One that is coming someday in the future. One that they look to as a futuristic thing that they had faith in, that was going to happen, and so they were willing to suffer on this earth, and they were willing to even die for their Lord because of what they knew was in store for them. The ones Jesus raised from the dead had to experience the agony and evil of death again. But these believers will never suffer again because their resurrection will come with a glorified body and come at a time when Christ will reign for eternity. So when we endure suffering until death and continue to trust in Christ, we testify to the world that the future we have with Jesus Christ is so amazing, it is worth any and all suffering we may endure. Your suffering is not in vain. God has a purpose for it. When we endure suffering as believers in Jesus, we show the world that our future with Him is far better than anything this world has to offer. And this leads naturally to my last point. You see, God uses the testimony of our faith as a sign of the culmination of His promise. God uses the testimony of our faith as a sign of the culmination of His promise. Everyone who has trusted in God's promised plan of salvation has something better in store for their future. Someday Jesus will gather together all those who have trusted in His promised plan of salvation and make them perfect or complete. That's what we see in verses 39 and 40. You see, God's plan was that He would send His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins and rise again to provide us with eternal life. When we follow the example of others who have trusted in this plan before us, We are confirming to the world that Jesus is coming again to make us complete. By trusting in Jesus through the hardships and victories of life, God confirms to others the truth about the culmination of his promised plan of salvation. So, let's continue to faithfully trust and obey the Lord through the highs and the lows of life, knowing that God is going to use the testimony of our faith to deliver us from evil so we can be a positive influence on our society and to show his mighty power to the world. And if he chooses to allow evil to make us suffer, even until death, we can know that God will use our faith through suffering to witness to the world that our future is so amazing with Jesus that it is worth any evil we face. God is going to use our faith to confirm to the world that his son Jesus will come again and make all those who trusted in him complete. That is why we suffer. That is why we face difficulties. That is why we face persecution. When we think about the suffering of others, some that we love, some that we care about, we need to remember why God allows this to happen. Wonderful, godly couple that I've known for many years. They live down in Florida. I used to go hunting with him, and his wife would cook us meals after we went hunting. It was just a wonderful experience, and we got to grow close together, and I've known them for a long time. Miss Brenda called me up last week. She was crying. She had just found out that her body was riddled with cancer. Her husband, my buddy, had just had a big tumor taken out of his brain, and the right side of his body is not able to be used anymore. And he was crying because her end is near, and he was heartbroken to see his wife, who he loves so much, suffering so much pain, so much agony. And I thought to myself, why, God? Why so much suffering? Why so much? And then he showed me. I hope you'll remember this when that time comes for you, when that time comes for your loved one.